to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 228 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you all are having a fantastic week. It's another bonus show. Yes, four straight weeks of bonus shows. My wife loves me right now, let me tell you. Oh, man. All right. Tonight's show brought to you by Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com. Use the code LAPPED, L-A-P-P-E-D, at checkout. Get 20% off, free shipping, all that good stuff. Let's jump right into it. If you guys recall, a couple weeks ago, made the announcement with Dustin Albino from jayski.com that him and I, with Jayski's blessing, are going to be doing some bonus shows every couple weeks here. So joining me tonight, my co-host for this evening from jayski.com, it's Dustin Albino. Dustin, what's going on, man? Welcome back to the show.
Not much, man. It sounds like you're an overachiever. Four straight weeks of bonus shows. So congrats,
man,
on that.
Well, thanks, man. It was so much fun doing that Carnomaly 500 coverage with Landon Castle, Parker Kligerman. It was some of the most unique coverage, if you will, that I've ever done, and that was mainly because I really didn't know what I was getting into, and it was a blast. You know, these guys on the iRacing, e-racing, sim racing, whatever letter we want to put in front of it, man, they are into it, and I love their passion. Honestly, it kind of felt I was able to relate, and I think they were able to relate to me a little bit, because, you know, these guys, a lot of them have their day jobs or whatever, you know, and some are trying to make a career out of this. And that's kind of like me. I've got my day job and I put all the passion behind the podcast, you know, so you could feel the passion in a lot of the interviews and a lot of the drivers that I was able to talk to over those couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to Landon a few times about it, and I've heard Parker's enthusiasm about it and his passion for it. So I'm sure that, you know, you got a lot of good content out of that. But personally, I'm not the biggest iRacing fan, I guess you'd say. I'm kind of a traditionalist. But last year was really good for the sport during the shutdown.
Absolutely. 100% there, man. All right. Lap Traffic Nation. So like I said, you know, Dustin's going to come on every couple weeks. We're going to have some fun with this. A lot of you guys like to joke and poke fun at my like 15-page show sheet. Dustin can confirm I only sent him four pages of loose stuff. So we're going to develop this. You know, we're going to, you know, as this goes on, you know, we'll turn this into something unique. I'm confident, and you know, we're going to look to get you listeners feedback, questions, suggestions on segments, whatever. You know, we're all about it, just to have some fun outside of the routine on Tuesday and all that good stuff. So Dustin, I'm excited. First one, I'm ready to roll, man. How about you?
I'm ready too. Let's get it underway.
Excellent, man. So, all right, listen, let's first talk about, man, you know, when we made the announcement, you know, it was like, you know, leading up to Daytona, man, you really weren't sure what was going to, you know, what you're going to be doing and getting into with Jayski. Talk about your first basically month now that the season's underway over there.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that the season's, you know, this weekend's already a month since right. The Daytona 500. It flies by, and it goes by even quicker when I feel like you're in the midst of it all. So, first month, well, I guess first 3 months at Jayski, first month under the season, has been really well. Doing a lot of stuff. Numbers are great, which is always good. At Daytona, I had a ton of fun being there for Jayski. It was their first time at a track in almost 10 years. So almost a decade they weren't at the track, and I was honored to be the one to bring them back. But you know, some days are slow, some days are really busy. I'm in charge of all the Xfinity stuff on the site, so Saturdays are typically my day where I'm just cranking out content and putting it all up on the site for all you guys to look at and enjoy.
I love it, man. Are we gonna see a Dustin takeover of the Jayski Twitter account on Saturdays, maybe?
I do run the Jayski Twitter account on Saturdays.
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah. It's an interesting kind of concept because, you know, a few of us share, there's three of us, four of us that work at Jayski, you know, full time, and we each have our individual series, and I'm the Xfinity guy. So whatever's Xfinity on the site, on Facebook, on Twitter, it's coming from me. We just don't kind of tell the fans and the viewers beforehand, sure, that, you know, that person has controlled the site for that day, but or the Twitter handle. So yes, I do take over the JSK account on Saturdays.
That's really cool. So I got to ask you this. So, you know, you've got a couple thousand followers on your personal handle. I've got a couple thousand followers on the Lab Traffic handle. You know, JSK, I mean, leaps and bounds, right? Like, how different of responses and stuff, you know, just because of the mass, you know, not diehards that are following guys like our personal things there, you know, is that a big difference in terms of comments and stuff that you got to filter through with a handle that's got that type of following?
It's a good question. Yeah. I mean, I pay attention a little bit to, I pay attention a lot more to mine personally, my personal account. But the JC, as far as like responses and whatnot, but I do know, you know, JC's got 110,000 Twitter followers plus. Yeah. So they get a ton of response, ton of feedback on news. And I mean, I'm sure you were this way too, as kids, as a kid for me, I always went to JSK and I always thought they were the first, you know, to get everything. They got the scoop back in the day. And I've had, you know, members in the industry tell me the same thing back when they were a kid, pre-internet. So just to be a part of that now is pretty cool for myself. Very honored. But,
absolutely.
Yeah. The reaction on Twitter is, I mean, it depends on what you post about, right? Like if it's something controversial, sure, there's going to be a lot of feedback, negative and positive. And likewise, if there's something positive that's posted. Sure. So it's all a mixture.
You know, it's funny you say, you know, because like you said, you know, when I first started getting into fantasy NASCAR back in like high school, I mean, JSK was the end all be all on where you went to do, you know, your homework, so to speak. And like, you know, how you said you were honored and proud that, you know, you represented JSK for the first time in 10 years at the track, you know, last week or whatever, you know, Scott had put on the home page about, you know, us doing the show and put a picture up there. Dude, I mean, I literally got goosebumps. There may have been a wet eye. I'm not sure. I like showed it to my wife. Like, I mean, I'm showing it to everybody, and just because of how honored and proud and humbled that was to see that, and it's one of the coolest things ever, man. So I feel you on that.
It kind of humbles you, but it also makes everything worth it. I feel like,
yeah.
All of the paid trips or the, you know, covering stuff on your own dime, whatever it is, just to cover the sport and to, you know, have a passion that you enjoy and love. And I think this is, you know, comes full circle.
Absolutely. 100%. All right, man. Listen, you sent out a tweet the other day about a project you got coming up with Antonio Williams, man. I saw that. I'm like, that's awesome. That's getting talked about. Can you tease what's coming up with that?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah, I'm a huge Bills fan, but that obviously has really nothing to do with the article. It's cool. I mean, I'm sure your listeners have heard it, but Antonio Williams is over the past 9, 10, 11 months, really since NASCAR took a stance on social injustice, has really shown his fandom on Twitter. And ahead of Daytona, he was announced as an investor in the career of Joe Graff Jr., obviously the driver of the number 07 for SS Greenlight Racing in the Xfinity Series. So just getting the backstory there, how they became friends, how, you know, his passion for the sport, which far exceeds just last year. He's been a fan his whole life. He went to Charlotte Motor Speedway, grew up an hour from the track. So, yeah, I don't want to tease it too much.
Fair enough.
But, yeah.
Go to JSK.com and be on the lookout for it. There you go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here in the next couple of weeks.
That's great. You know, one of the things that I think is just great is the crossover that NASCAR's gotten over the last 12 to 18 months in terms of, you know, fans that are public figures that maybe people didn't realize were fans, the new investments into the sport, whether it's Michael Jordan, whether it's Pitbull. I mean, that just expands the potential audience, whether it's new followers to people on social media, all the way up to new viewers and butts in the seats at the track. I mean, it is an endless possibility that might be small to manage and you know, take track of initially. But man, there's untapped potential there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you bring someone in like Michael Jordan, who's arguably the greatest basketball player of all time. I would say he is. And then Pitbull. I mean, Pitbull's, you know, reaches a whole new demographic.
Yep.
As does Michael Jordan with, you know, with the African-American community and with Pitbull, with Hispanic community. I mean, it's going to get, like you said, more butts in seats, more viewers on the product. And I think it's I think we're, you know, just starting. I think we're going to see more and more down the road.
Absolutely. All right. Now, all right. This leads me to my next thing here is, you know, I used the butts in the seats reference on purpose there. So did you pick up on that? The old Tony Schiavone, WCW, that'll put a lot of butts in the seats.
I did.
So, yeah. So, Lab Traffic Nation, like I said, this could be a loose forum. We're going to have some fun with this. We might mix in some WWE. WrestleMania is right around the corner. Dustin and I are obviously going to be talking about that. You know, we're football fans, basketball fans. You know, we're going to cover some stuff, and obviously the bulk will be NASCAR. So, you know, any ideas that you guys have, please feel free to send them my way. Email, you guys know how to find me there. Twitter, whatever. You guys know how to get a hold of me and Dustin, and he'll send them over my way as well. Dustin, you put out a piece yesterday regarding Riley Herbst and his move from Joe Gibbs Racing to SHR. And I found that interesting just because of the backstory that you were able to cover there a little bit in terms of, you know, he really didn't know what was going on. And that move was a little surprising that he was out of the ride the way he found out he was out of the ride.
Yeah. I agree with you. And, you know, I'm trying to think, like, it was only 5 months ago that happened. The last year, as we record this, you know, March 11th is kind of when the world shut down last year.
Isn't that nuts?
So the past year's, you know, it's flown by, but at the same time, it's dragged. So, yeah, just think back 5 months ago. And, you know, that week it was announced that Clint Bowyer, he announced he was retiring from full-time competition. And there was this big question mark before that, whether who was going to replace him. And all eyes were on Chase Briscoe, because at the time he had, what, 7, 8 Xfinity wins, finished the year with 9. Clearly that, you know, the probably the right guy for the job. And it was, right? Like, yep. Next week it was announced that he was the driver of the 14 full-time, and now he's, you know, in the midst of his rookie year. So Stewart-Haas Racing, I asked Tony Stewart straight up when they announced that if they're going to keep the Xfinity program, and he said yes. But at the time, they didn't have, you know, they didn't have an announcement. And just a few weeks later, I guess it'd be like a month later, they announced Riley Herbst. So yeah, he, you know, according to Riley, he didn't know where he was going to be. Although for some reason, a lot of people in the industry kind of thought he was going to Stewart-Haas Racing. But anyways, yeah, it was unique because that's all Riley knew was Joe Gibbs Racing for the past 4 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, he ran well there in ARCA. He got a win. But at the same time, you know, he's seen a lot of the haters when he doesn't perform up to the level of like last year. You know, a fair comparison would be Harrison Burton.
Sure.
Because they're both rookies. Harrison Burton gets 4 wins. Riley Herbst gets, what, 4 top fives. So there's a big difference there. But yeah, look, with all these Xfinity stories, I love telling the stories of the Xfinity series. I like getting deep and in depth with them. So hopefully that they came across as, you know, a good story for the reader.
I loved it. If you've missed it, go follow Dustin on Twitter. Go to jayski.com.
I should probably get better at promoting jayski.com and my own stuff. I've always had a problem with that, not promoting my own stuff.
Well, I will do my damnedest to do and help you with that. Well,
much appreciated.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, if you missed Tuesday's show with Pat Tacola from NASCAR.com, make sure you go check that out. Dustin Show will be up this week. And next Tuesday, I'm very excited. Tyler Riddick's going to be back on the show. I'm very excited to catch up with him. Dustin, I love Tyler Riddick, and I don't have this written down, but I want to go off on a slight tangent here. I love the potential of what he can do with RCR. We saw it in the Xfinity series and him help to kind of rebrand and start not from the bottom up, but start in the Xfinity series and help RCR develop that program. And we're watching that transition into the Cup series. Not to say that Austin Dillon, you know, hasn't done his part, but there's obviously criticism that comes along with Austin Dillon in terms of, you know, underperforming all the years he's been there. I love Tyler Riddick and what I feel they're able to build around with him. Young guy, proven guy in the lower series. And it's just, I literally feel it is just a matter of time when that first win comes.
Yeah, I feel like they got a good dynamic right now between him and Austin. And Austin, too, gets his, you know, fair share of criticism. But I honestly think it's unfair. I think, I mean, he's won championships at both trucks and Xfinity level. Tyler Reddick won two Xfinity championships. They got a real good core there at RCR. And we've seen, I mean, Austin's been pretty fast this year. And Reddick's been, I mean, he's been average. I think he's had speed. But for whatever reason, he had bad luck at Daytona. The road course, he's not the best road course racer. He would tell you that too. Homestead, 3-5 more laps, he would have won that race.
Absolutely. Yes.
And then, you know, this past weekend at Vegas was kind of a pretty bad run for the 8 team. So I don't expect that going forward. I do expect him. I had him pointing his way into the playoffs this year.
Absolutely.
Honestly, though, it looks like he's gonna have to win his way in with the way the season started out.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, we look at last year, you know, Matt Benedetto was able to point his way into the season. If Matt Benedetto doesn't up his game, you know, it's going to be the guys like Tyler Reddick that are going to be able to, you know, overpoint them if it comes down to the points battle. But man, here's to 17 wins, baby.
There's, yeah, that maybe one day. Right. And this could be the year. I mean, you never know. I personally don't see it happening, but there are a lot of drivers with big teams, like you mentioned, DiBenedetto, Eric Almirola, Reddick. I mean, there's a few others that really need to get going.
Yes.
Because if they don't, they're just going to get too far behind, and then it's going to be too late. I know we're only 4 races in, 5 after this weekend, but that's essentially 20% of the way through the regular season.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. All right, man. Let's keep things rolling here. Lap Traffic Nation tonight. Dustin and I, we're going to recap the season a little bit. We're going to reset where we're at a little bit across all 3 series a little loosely. Tuesday, I didn't get too much into the series because I was going to save it specifically for tonight. So we'll do that. Got some social media shout outs, of course, and some listener questions to kind of wrap things out and kind of just an intro, if you will. And we'll have some fun with this. I'm pretty excited. All right, man. General thoughts, 4 races into the season. Where are you at overall, whether it's across all 3 series, season, cup, whatever? Where are you at right now?
I think it's been a really good year so far. The first stage at Vegas the other day in the cup race was arguably the best stage on intermediate track, you know, with this 550 package. I'm not I've been very vocal about it. I'm not a fan of the 550 package. It is, you know, it is what it is. We're doing it. I thought that was a hell of a stage. And the race as a whole was really good. And then you think about the Xfinity race on the Daytona road course. I thought that was incredible. The Xfinity race at Homestead was really good. This past weekend in Vegas was also good. The truck series, I mean, they had two kind of, you know, they've had two wreck fests with Daytona and then the road course.
Yeah.
The road course was one of probably the worst races that I've seen in a while, just because there's no rhythm.
Yeah. That's key. Rhythm is, you know, you don't want to be in such a rhythm that it's just single file logging laps, but you don't want to be a cluster bleep like that was either.
Exactly. And then you had the Vegas race this past weekend, which was dominated by John Hunter Nemechek and Kyle Busch Motorsports, which was not a surprise at all. I mean, I think everyone had John Hunter at top, you know, the championship this year is among the favorites going back down to the truck series. So I got to be honest with you, Brandon. I think it's been a really good start to the year. And, you know, it gives me hope for the rest of the year, too.
Absolutely. The couple things that I love about the start to season is one, some of the surprises have been great. You know, that keeps everybody positive longer. And I've noticed more positivity on social media. And I love that. I obviously want to see more positivity than negativity. So as long as people can stay happy and involved, then that's great for the sport. So I love that we've had unique finishes. I love that we've had some great races at some of the mile and a half stretch throughout the 3 series. That just does wonders for things. I'm with you. I'm not a fan of the package. You know, I'm excited to see what next year brings with the next gen car and all that. And, you know, we'll find something else to complain about, I'm sure. But, you know, we'll roll with the punches. You know, the fact that NASCAR NASCAR took such huge swings at the schedule changes, the new tracks, the additional road courses, the short. I mean, there's a lot to be happy about. There's a lot to look forward to, considering what we've had four races in. So I'm with you. I'm pumped. I can't wait for each weekend, man, because it's racing.
And you mentioned surprises. There's so many surprises, specifically across Cup and Xfinity, and, you know, good and bad. We mentioned the bad earlier with the Cup Series, but then on the flip side, obviously Michael McDowell. I mean, who had him going 3-for-3 with top 10 to start the year? And
right.
This, you know, this past weekend having a respectable run too. Ryan Preece, he had disastrous luck last year. And right now he's 13th in points. And at, you know, at the beginning of the year, it wasn't even confirmed if he was going to run the full season with JTG. It just kind of depended on how they ran. And right now I would say they're overachieving for JTG standards. And then you look at the Xfinity Series. I mean, you got Jeremy Clements and Brandon Brown in the top 10 in points. And I get that it's four races in, and, you know, you kind of move up and down at a rapid rate if you have a good or a bad race. But then you look at like Justin Allgaier. He's yet to finish in the top 10 in any of the races. And I mean, obviously, you know, he's only 2 points out of the playoffs. So he's going to get in there.
Right.
And I'm sure he'll have multiple wins. But Riley Herbst, I mean, we brought up him earlier, but he's had terrible luck. There's just so much. The Xfinity Series in itself, I think, is really good. It's really deep this year, but there's so many stories across all three series this year.
There's so much stuff that can still evolve yet, you know, which is great. You know, you mentioned Michael McDowell, and we were talking a couple minutes ago about, you know, the potential cutoff for the playoffs. You know, Michael McDowell winning basically took a playoff spot from somebody.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's going to play out, and that's going to make that Daytona race even more exciting, you know, for the regular season finale there. You know, we talk about the Xfinity Series. I love that Harrison Burton's going to be competitive. I love that I truly believe Austin Cindric, while he may win back-to-back, he's going to have to fight for it. It is not just going to be a cakewalk for him this year, which is great. Everybody knows I have been a big supporter and have gotten behind 110% Colic Racing. I love AJ Allmendinger. He is a great personality for the sport, a great driver. I knew it was just a matter of time before he picked up that win, and it happened four races in. I mean, you got Noah Gregson. I mean, the Xfinity Series, I don't think people are showing it enough love at the moment.
Based on what?
From a social media perspective. I mean, I push the trucks very hard, and I love the truck series, and we'll talk about them in a minute here. But I just feel like I don't think people recognize how great the level of talent is in the Xfinity Series right now. I think it's underrated and undeservingly so.
I can see that vantage point. I think people within the industry would obviously say otherwise, because it is so stacked this year.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You're looking at right now, any of the top 12 can make the playoffs. Then you have Allgaier, Herbst. I mean, there's a few others. Sieg, I mean, he's mired back in 22nd in points. There's a lot of guys. And then you have surprises like Ty Gibbs, who I understand obviously is not running full time. But to win in his first race,
right.
Like that's unheard of.
That's crazy.
So there's just so many storylines this year within the Xfinity Series. And I don't know, I'm kind of on the opposite, though. I see a lot of positive reaction with the Xfinity Series, especially on Saturdays. But I'm sure there are people out there that, you know, don't understand or don't realize the depth that it has this year.
Well, and so speaking of depth, and I really want your thought on this because of how much you do cover the Xfinity Series. The one issue that I've had with the Xfinity Series, particularly as we get close to playoff time, has been that there has been a lack of a bubble in the playoffs. The last few years, you know, 4 weeks to go, 5 weeks to go in the regular season, the disparity between 12th and 13th in standings have been like 100, 150 points, to where there really isn't a bubble race in the Xfinity Series towards the the end of the regular season for that. And with how stacked this is, I really hope that there are some storylines and some races that we're talking about from a bubble perspective as we wind down the regular season in the Xfinity series.
Yeah, and I mean, I think part of that, and that is accurate. I mean, I think part of that is because it's very top heavy.
Yes.
And it's been very top heavy for the last couple of years. And you see each of the last, 2 years, we get a few drivers that would just win 5, 6, 9 races. And so that they're building up those playoff. No.
Yeah.
But this year, I mean, I just named them off, but you know, right now I see any of the top 12 making the playoffs. It'd be a little bit of a surprise, I think, if Clements made it. And honestly, Brandon Brown, I know he made it last year, but this year they've improved quite a bit. It seems like it's on sheer speed.
Sure.
But then even outside the top 12, you have Allgaier, Herbst, Sieg. I mean, that's 15 drivers right there.
And I love it. I love that.
So even if you throw out, you know, I don't want to disregard these drivers because they could win, I think. Like Clements could steal. I mean, he won on a road course. We got six more left.
Yeah.
Brown, I mean, he's a really good, consistent racer. And if he didn't have an engine failure and finish 30 something at Vegas or at Homestead, I mean, that's 30 more points. He'd be top 5 in points.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be a real battle this year to get in the playoffs.
I am very excited about that. I want to see that because I think that just adds to the viewership, that adds to the what people are talking about. And I'm excited. I'm buying in to the Xfinity series even more this year than what I thought we were going to. So I'm pumped about that. All right, man, let's talk a little trucks. I had it first, but I'm saving it for last here with this. So I offered a conspiracy theory on Tuesday, and Joey at Joey _CLT wanted me to bring that back up tonight with you. And I don't subscribe to very many conspiracy theories, but if you wanted to buy into one, I thought I had one that could be offered. And that was, I'm throwing aside the potential of Kyle Busch spitting on the truck race. Whatever. I don't care if he didn't. Kyle Busch, good enough. He's could drive through the field regardless. So I can put that aside from a NASCAR perspective. I understand, you know, they said they might look into that more down the road, whatever. All fine and well. But I look at it from the potential fact of offering this conspiracy theory that I don't necessarily subscribe to. But, all right, Kyle Busch has fielded a truck team for a couple years now. Kyle Busch has been on the outside looking in from the playoffs in the truck series with his team because he's stolen a few wins from some of his drivers at different points and times while he was on the race. He's got John Hunter Nemechek, who I absolutely love. And CJ Wolliver and I a couple weeks ago talked so much about John Hunter and how much ass he's going to kick this year. And it started this past weekend. But I would just offer that potential theory of Kyle Busch, whether, what is he at, 56, 57 truck wins, 58 didn't really matter to him, but having somebody in the playoffs definitely does matter to him. So that's my potential conspiracy theory that I'll offer.
I kind of disagree with that because it's Kyle Busch. I don't see him. See,
that's why I don't subscribe to it, but I just wanted to provide one for people.
I can't buy that because it's Kyle Busch. He is the competitor of all competitors in NASCAR. We've seen how upset he gets if he finishes second. However, I mean, I think John Hunter Nemechek realistically could have beat him straight up the other night.
Yes.
So yeah,
yes,
I don't subscribe to that theory either.
I saw Kyle Busch get pissed off because he got wrecked out of the Carnomaly 500 in iRacing. So yes to that. See, that's where I'm behind. No, Kyle Busch wants to win whatever, but man, I don't create unique things like that very often just to poke fun at conspiracy theories. So I threw that out there Tuesday night just to have some fun with that. And it definitely got some traction. So I'm glad too much. Cause I wasn't serious by it, but
yeah, because even so, like, say someone did believe that and did subscribe to that and you know, thought that was what happened, he spun out intentional the other night. You can't deny that. So and he saved himself 2 laps. So he was still trying, you know, to look out for his team, his 51 team, for the best opportunity to win.
Yes. No, I'm with you. 100%. Oh, man. Oh, cups. All right. No, there was one thing I forgot about the cup. All right, we got to talk two things. One about HMS. Putting a field on notice, in my opinion. 4 races, 2 wins. You know, William Byron, Kyle Larson, just both really put on a clinic 2 weeks in a row. It's great to see HMS back on the map. It's great to see Chevy as a whole back on a map. RCR is growing a little bit stronger. You know, Jeff Striegel likes to joke with me and ask when the check's coming from Chevy. I'm still waiting on it, as much praise as I talk about Chevy and all that, even though my guy is a Ford guy. But man, I love what HMS is doing, and they're a force to be reckoned with when you look at how they finished the season last year, with Chase Elliott winning his way to get to the championship four at Martinsville, winning at Phoenix, and boom, here we are, 4 races in and 2 wins.
Yeah. And if you think about it, you know, Chase probably should have won the road course. He led 44 at 70 laps, and he was inches away from winning the 500. So they could, I know, could, should have, would have, but right, they could be 4 for 4 right now.
Sure.
And, you know, in all likelihood, I think even if Larson didn't make the mistake of the road course, he would have won with the way everything was going. He had tires at the end, even with Chase's mistake. So, Hendrick, they've been knocking on the door for like a year or two, showing really, you know, some real flashes of speed, but they're there now. I mean, William Byron dominated on an intermediate track. Larson gets his first win on intermediate, you know, wins in just his fourth start with the team. Chase is probably going to be the fastest car this weekend at Phoenix. Bowman, I mean, Bowman's shown speed, but at the same time, right now it looks like he's the fourth car there. And I don't personally believe that, because I think he's going to turn it around here in the next couple of weeks. And who knows? You got to strike while the fire's hot, so he could get a win too.
Absolutely. I'm with you there. All right, let's talk about Kevin Harvick for a minute. Going into Phoenix, I can't even rationalize what I watched with Kevin Harvick this past weekend. Started on the pole, and that was the high note. Fire in his engine, and that was it. Like, it was just downhill from there. Fluke, maybe, I don't know, but SHR as a whole just really crapped the bed on Sunday. He was their best finish in 20th. We're heading to Phoenix, which is supposedly his playground. Hasn't won in 2 years there. Is it still his playground? Can he rebound? Can he pick up the win? Where are you at with Kevin Harvick as we head into Phoenix?
So I think this is kind of getting blown out of proportion a little bit, because he had 3 top 10s to start the year off. He was arguably the fastest car at the 500. The road course, I mean, if you look back at the Clash, the leaps and bounds they made in a week and a half there were incredible. Finished 6th, Homestead a top 5. Las Vegas, yes, it was bad. It was bad for Stuart Haas Racing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that, right? Almirola was probably the next quickest, and he was in the mid-20s before he had his flat tire and pounded the wall. So was it bad? Yes. But do I see – I don't look at Harvick as the favorite anymore at Phoenix. It used to be his personal playground, but, he's going to be top 5, top 8 probably. But even if you look back to the championship race last year, even if he had made the championship 4 and everything went perfect in the round of 8, he wouldn't have been anywhere in contention.
No, with that car. I think his new playground is Michigan, which I'm okay with that. So that's fine.
That, Atlanta. I mean, there's
he's still got a win few. Here. He's still got a few for sure. All right. Lap Traffic Nation. Let's hit a little social media for everybody. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. We've got YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast, Instagram, Twitch, TikTok, all at Lap Traffic PC. Dustin, where can everybody follow you on social media?
Yeah, follow me at Twitter. That's where I'm the most vocal and most frequent. I live on Twitter at Dustin Albino. And then on Instagram at Dustin underscore Albino. And follow Jayski at Jayski on Twitter. And then follow Jayski on the Front Stretch page too. We put out a lot of content per day. And we want to be the first place where you go for your racing news. So check us out.
Absolutely. If you haven't already. Absolutely. And don't forget about the giveaway. Got that Clint Boyer diecast, some Lap Traffic swag. Closing in on just 200 followers away from hitting 5,500 and giving that away. And of course, there's the free koozies and stickers. All you got to do is go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, fill out the contact page, and I will happily send you some because we all need a koozie for race weekend. So let me be your koozie for race weekends.
Gotta put that beer somewhere.
That's right. All right, man. Let's get to some follower questions, all that good stuff, and wrap up this first Lap Traffic Jayski Dustin bonus show, whatever we want to call. We got to come up with a name for some stuff. We got to come up with a name. We got to come up with some segments. So, Lap Traffic Nation, please send us some ideas that what we can work with and have some fun with for sure. All right, let's see here. And I like this one. And while I'll break fourth wall here, because Dustin and I are doing this via Zoom, so I can see the Syracuse banner behind Dustin and the shirt. Yes, I love it. At Syracuse Soldier wants to know how you became a NASCAR fan, because he has never known anybody else from Syracuse that's a NASCAR fan.
Yeah, so, and I saw this, and there's a lot of good interactions that I saw on, you know, when you announced that I was going to be on this week. I thought it was really cool. So for you at Syracuse Soldier, I grew up in Auburn, well, Union Springs, but no one knows Union Springs because it's so small. So I say Auburn, which is a suburb of Syracuse, right? So back there, I mean, in Syracuse, personally, I just moved here recently, so I haven't gotten out about, we're still in a pandemic, remember. But as far as, you know, interacting with other NASCAR fans, truly, I mean, I feel like this isn't a hotbed for it. You know, in when I went to high school or even elementary school, I feel like I was like that lone kid out there that liked it and was passionate about it and would put it before anything else. So yes, do I know people that like or enjoy NASCAR? Yeah, I do. But as far as in the Syracuse area, I mean, I'm still new to the Syracuse area in terms of living here. So I'm up for anyone to, you know, talk about Syracuse basketball, football, whatever, but anyone in the Syracuse area to talk about racing.
Absolutely. I think our next show, we're going to be knee deep in March Madness. So we might have to do a little basketball talk
Hopefully the Orange are still going by then. Yes. Hopefully they make it. They had a heartbreaker today.
Oh, did they really? Oh.
Yeah, they lost on a last second shot to Virginia.
Oh, that's brutal. I know Michigan State lost earlier today. You know, Michigan, they were so hot early on. I hope they didn't let it all out too early in the season. So
I think it's Gonzaga or Baylor winning it all.
Yes. Oh, man. I'll take a Michigan one. So we can't win in football, so we might as well get something in basketball. Gina at GoAlex48, what's with no wins for the 11, 4, 9, and 19? It's early. That's what I'm going to say. It's early.
It is early. I mean, look, it's been an unusual year, and anything can happen in the 500. Anyone can win it. You know, Denny Hamlin had the best car there. He probably should have won the 500, but then the pit strategy there at the end, he came out ahead of his Toyota brethren and, you know, couldn't get linked up and the field blew by him. Stuff like that happens. Harvick, again, I'm not concerned about Harvick. Elliott, not concerned one bit about Chase Elliott. Nope. I think that took plenty of speed. And Truex, I think he's a lot quicker right now than he was last year. So, you know, I see all these guys winning multiple races this year.
Absolutely. I'm with you. Jeremy at Living Room War Wagon. What's going on with SHR? No one has anything outside the four. We've kind of talked about this a little bit already tonight here. But, you know, I personally think that, you know, like you had said, going into Sunday, Kevin Harvick had three top tens, and it was him and Michael McDowell, you know, and they were the only two to have that, you know. So I think as we get more and more races under our belts, Vegas is just going to be the outlier on the bottom skew.
Yeah, now if he goes and struggles at Vegas, talking about Harvick, or at Phoenix, I should say, and especially Atlanta, I feel like Atlanta's the real test because he always dominates there. And, he, you know, like you said, he dominated at Phoenix too. But if he goes there and struggles at both races, then maybe, you know, you raise your eyebrows and like, oh, what's going on? But, I mean, since he's been there, the four car has kind of been out on an island in terms of raw speed compared to everybody else at SHR.
Yes.
I know they got all four cars into the final eight in 2018 with Kurt Busch, Clint Bowyer, and Eric Almirola. But the four car is far and above the best car there year after year. Absolutely. So I am not concerned at all about the four car. And then with the 41 and 14 with Cole Custer and Chase Briscoe, they're both still young and adapting to the Cup Series.
Yep.
Cole got a win last year, but it was on a restart.
Yeah.
So
yep.
I think you have to limit expectations. I know he's in his second year, but I think you still have to limit expectations for those, especially Briscoe.
Sure. With you.
And Almirola has had very little luck.
Yeah. He's had more bad luck than good luck.
I mean, look what he did in the Daytona duel. He dominated that one. He had probably one of the best cars, you know, before the lap 15 incident. I know he really didn't get to show it off in the 500, but I think he had one of the best cars at Speed Weeks.
Sure. Scott at 1985 Wagner, dirt race coming up, expectations versus realities. I'll let you take that. But before we get to answering that, man, how cool is it? And I was hoping this was going to happen, you know, kind of like Eldora, you know, the event and the weeks leading into Eldora, not necessarily just from a NASCAR perspective, but, you know, the World of Outlaws, you know, the week before. And it just became like a thing. I mean, they spent all this time and money to put dirt in Bristol. You might as well use it, you know, so the modified series races that we're going to have there. And man, the fact that some of these guys are going to go run some of these modifieds, Harvick's going to run the truck race, which is awesome. Before we get to what we're going to get on the track for NASCAR, I love the hype and what they're doing around that event.
Yeah, they're definitely making an event. Now, I don't know. I'm I don't mean to sound negative, because I am looking forward to it, but I really wish they just, you know, brought it to a regular dirt track, because Bristol, I mean, I guess I'll be a little biased here. I think Bristol's the best track on the circuit. It's my favorite place to watch a race in person.
Sure.
So I do think it's going to be, you know, interesting to see how all this comes together. If, you know, how much rubber gets down, because this has got to be the longest dirt race in history of dirt races at 250 laps. So, yeah. I mean, we'll, I don't know. I'm excited about it. Like you said, they're building it up with all the preliminary events. You have Brad Keselowski, who's going to be racing. I think he's racing at Bristol in an event. But like Kyle Larson, Corey LaJoie, Austin Dillon, they're all getting dirt experience. So, I don't know. I have no expectations, because I don't know what to expect at all.
My expectation is I am so confident the truck race is going to be incredible, because we know what to expect. We know the truck race is a little bit, or the truck series, a little bit more of a scrappier series, and that's great. And I love what that's going to bring, with the level of competition that we have in the Cup Series. You know, to me, that's a WWE gimmick Hell in a Cell match. Like, do you need it? Do you not need it? And, you know, it's going to be interesting. And like you said, I'm tuning in, and I'm tuning in because it's going to be something. You know, somebody's going to piss somebody off, and it's going to be great. You know, but, you know, points paying race, Cup race. I mean, I'm still torn on that aspect of it from a gimmick, may be the wrong word. And you tell me what you think on that. But I'm excited as all hell, because it's unique. And I'm that's where I'm at with that.
I think you're right when you say gimmick, because you're bringing dirt into an asphalt track that is one of the best asphalt tracks on the circuit.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect either, because at least from a race perspective, because I also think, you know, they're going to get a lot of laps. They're getting practice there, qualifying heats, 15 lap qualifying heats. They're going to have a lot of laps in by the time the race starts. And I know for, you know, some of the drivers that don't have dirt experience or very limited, that's going to be very beneficial. But if they get into a groove and, you know, you're seeing that the track's taking rubber, how the race could turn out to be just, you know, a snooze fest. I don't think that's going to be the case personally, but it could be. Yeah. Again, I don't know what to expect.
I'm with you. All right. We'll wrap it with this one. Nick at FGR Driver 17. Next year, next gen car rosters. You know, what do you think that's going to bring for us in terms of on track? Are we going to see any shift in the rosters, maybe with some guys stepping away, not wanting to get to know a new car?
Yeah. I mean, as far as drivers or just the rosters in general?
Both. I mean, I look at it more from a driver perspective. Like, I mean, you know, every year is Kurt Busch's last year. You know,
yeah.
Is he coming back again to learn a new car?
Yeah, and he had the hype video at the beginning of the year out of Daytona. You know, him, Ryan Newman, they're both in contract years and, you know, older than they've been around for 20 years.
Yep.
So could they be around maybe just to get a feel for the new car? I mean, it's still early in silly season, but with that said, you've seen a couple of the big free agents already sign contracts with Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr. As far as crew rosters, I do think there's going to be a few eliminations on the team, which, you know, it's going to be a tough time for some people in the sport because it's going to eliminate jobs.
Yes.
With that said, it's going to eventually be cost cutting for all teams, which is a good thing. Again, not good that people are losing their jobs, but good thing that the sport will get, you know, be cheaper, essentially.
Yeah.
What will the car bring? I don't know. I mean, we've only seen it at a handful of tests. We do have a couple tests this month upcoming at Richmond and Martinsville, but we got to get more cars on the track before we can see what it'll bring, because all these tests have been one or two cars. We need to get more on the track.
That's a good point right there. I'm with you there 100%. All right. Lap Traffic Nation, man, that was a quick 45 minutes there. Absolutely love it. Let's close out this first. Jayski, Dustin, Lap Traffic, please send us a name. Please send us a name. Lap Traffic Nation, that's going to do it for episode 228 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow on Twitter at LapTrafficPC. Dustin, where can everybody follow you and Jayski at?
Yep, go follow me at Dustin Albino and Jayski at Jayski on Twitter.
Awesome. Lap Traffic Nation, make sure you tune in Tuesday. Tyler Riddick will be back. Dustin will be back in a couple weeks. Hit us up with some stuff. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya.